B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. We're going to climb in. I know there's not much to talk about other than what we're living through. You know, we're here to talk about anything with you. And we have the Field of 64, have some fun. So any conversation that's going to come up in my head is going to make it to the air today. Because we have a lack of, like, what can we talk about right now? Like, we're not even engaging with people. So we don't have any stories to tell other than stories that happen in your home.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm going to tell a story right now.
All right.
Anyway, the 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corbelish Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Now, Matt, you're with us, right?
Of course.
All right, so, Matt, this is a good story, and I want you to chime in on it.
I'm ready.
Is Booney producing today, or is Sean producing?
It's Booney.
It's Booney.
Booney is back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, you remember last week, or was it a week, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about this PA lottery commercial with this really cute actress on it.
Yes.
Yes, we have since seen the actress.
Right, and Booney sent me a photo of her. And mm-hmm. So last night, I'm watching this new show on HBO, and it's called The Plot Against America.
Okay.
It's a book by Philip Roth, and it's produced by David Simon, who did The Wire.
Okay.
All right. So, and the story is about, the book is about Charles Lindbergh mm-hmm. winning the presidency over Franklin Delano Roosevelt's third term when he actually won it. So it's fictional. And Lindbergh is an American hero and also an avowed anti-Semite.
Ooh.
And he wins the presidential election. And it's based on Philip Roth growing up in Newark, New Jersey area, living under this regime where a president is an anti-Semite.
Right.
Hmm. And so it's two episodes in.
That's mm-hmm. interesting.
Right. So I'm watching the show, and there's a scene in this New York department store, and the main character, the father of Philip Roth is a kid in this. So his father's wife, his mother, is working at this department store. And two well-kept ladies come in and ask for the Lindbergh scarf.
Okay.
Which has now become fashionable. And I'm looking at one of them. I'm going, wait a second. That's the girl from the PA lottery commercial.
Wow.
Moving up in the world.
Well, yeah. So I wait for the credits to come up,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Leah Pressman.
Leah Pressman.
For Leah Pressman.
Okay.
So I look her up on Twitter, and on Twitter, there's a picture of her with her father, and she's wearing an Eagles t-shirt.
Really?
Wow.
She's from Bucks County.
Oh, look at that.
So I got a little Twitter convo with her last night.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I said, wait a second. I just watched this show. Are you the same actress that was in the PA lottery commercial? She goes, yes, I am. Thanks for noticing, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, yeah, I'm from Philly. It's unbelievable.
Now look at you.
That's amazing.
That's what you see when you have a lot of time on your hands. Something like that happens.
That's great.
Maybe the stars are aligning, Mike.
Well, I don't think so. but she seems like a delightful lady.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at her. I was like, she had a star scene. Had to be like not even 5 minutes.
Well, yeah.
And
I look,
I go, well, that's the girl in the PA lottery commercial. Boom.
That's so funny that you noticed.
I'm really good at that. Like I can place one person that was in this and was in that. It's just like, again, my brain is so occupied by useless information. That's the kind of stuff it occupies.
I'm on her page now. Here you are. Leah, are you from Philly?
Yeah.
She responds, yes.
Yes. From Philly. I saw the Eagles t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
All right. Anyway.
Good for her.
Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about AV a bit, but I wanted to do a mea culpa. I was responsible for kicking out Parks and Rec yesterday, and after we hung up, I realized that, I wasn't familiar. I should have recused myself from that decision because I'm not that familiar with that.
Oh, show. Wait a minute. Are you calling to reverse your decision? We've never had a situation like that. Tyrone, do the rules permit a reversal on a mea culpa?
Well, only if we had used an executive challenge. And since we did not, it should stand. He should not feel bad about his, just because
yeah,
I disagree.
Well, it was your instinct, so we have to go there, Greg.
It's all right.
I don't know if we the committee will discuss a 24-hour rule for future Field of 64s.
That would be interesting.
If that's the case, I might have just got in under the wire yesterday. But, I wasn't familiar with that one, and I always liked 2.5 men, so it's just automatic.
That's okay. It's all right. It's going to get crushed in the next round anyway, so don't worry about it.
All right. Well, I thought I was going to make Ty happy.
Yeah, well, Ty's sour about it. But listen, it's up against Seinfeld in the next round. Well, was Ty going to cry if Parks and Rec lost to Seinfeld? No.
Yeah.
So it had a short life anyway.
It's going down. I saw a couple episodes of Behind the Glass over the weekend, and I was really surprised at how animated AV was behind the bench. You know, he always seems so composed.
Yeah.
And stayed and, you know, just soaking everything in, you know, and he was a real cheerleader behind the bench, which surprised me.
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, he's smart enough to know when his team may need that.
I think so.
He's a savvy guy, man. I really like him.
I do too. I he's very impressive. I haven't seen anything that he's done that I haven't liked. So.
Yeah.
Good interview yesterday with Taryn Hatcher. I wanted to throw that in.
Thank you. And, she seemed like a very nice person.
Well, she's more than just a pretty face.
She is. She's smart. Seems very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't have one today, but we have the continuing series coming up this week.
Okay.
Yes. The continuing series of Meet the NBC Sports Philadelphia People.
She's not been on the lottery, huh?
The lottery?
Yeah, the PA lottery.
She's not on the commercial now. That's Leah Pressman. All right, now would you like to select a game here again?
See if I can redeem myself.
Yeah, it's an easy one for you because it completes the bracket of the left side first round sitcoms. The two seed is Friends. Mm-hmm. The 15 seed, the Larry Sanders Show.
I got to go with Friends.
All right. Friends advances. For a moment there, it seemed like he was going to pull the upset.
And to be honest with you, I mean, the people be upset, but that was the better show.
That would have been challenged, though.
I think
that would have been our first chance had he chosen 15 beating the 2 there.
Yeah, well, it's happened before, and it's better. Larry Sanders Show's better.
No.
Yes.
It might be a better show because it's more intellectual.
It's funnier.
It is.
Makes you laugh more.
It's snidely funny. But Friends is the universally acclaimed, accepted sitcom.
Yes.
So that would have been a challenge.
And it's a fine show.
It's a fine show.
It is fine.
All right. So that completes the left side of brackets. We move to the top upper right-hand dramas category. But just to give you the second round matchups. In the sitcom side, on the sitcom side. By the way, have I been saying Sanford and Sons? Have I been going plural? Am I Hargraves-ing Hargrave? It's Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
It's only Lamont.
Only one son.
Oh, yeah, so if I've been saying that, I apologize. Here are it's round two matchups. Seinfeld versus 2.5 Men. I Love Lucy versus All in the Family.
Whoo.
Martin versus MASH, potential upset brewing. The Cosby Show versus The Office.
And that's another potential upset depending on who answers the phone.
All right. Lower bracket. Cheers versus South Park. Big Bang Theory versus Golden Girls in the Tyrone Memorial matchup.
Yes.
Roseanne versus The Simpsons, and Sanford and Son versus Friends.
Ooh, those are good matchups.
Good second round coming. Pat and Ben Salem. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Pat?
Tyrone's starting to become the voice of common sense slowly there over there. I mean, I think he's exactly right. You know, just calling in about the Sixers thing today. Mm-hmm. There's a huge, like, I believe in capitalism, mm-hmm. all right? But there's a huge difference between greed and capitalism. And when you get these companies where these CEOs have six houses, and if things get a little tight, they want to, you know, get rid of all the guys making $70,000, $60,000 a year that have worked for the company for 25 mm-hmm. years. That's when I have a problem.
Yeah.
That's where greed is different than capitalism. And that's the problem, I think, that our country deals with. And I think today was an example of it with the Sixers.
Yeah, and I think more common heads prevailed than, hey, listen, this is a PR disaster. You don't take the PR hit. Yeah, you're going to have, you're going to make money. But it's really not a good message. I mean, look at the president of the United States. I mean, he gave up his $450,000 salary. He's taking zero. He only said it about seven times in a press conference, but he's at least giving away the salary. Right? All right, go ahead.
Do you think it's a little funny, though, sometimes? I mean, I think people take him a little too serious. I kind of like his sarcastic humor, but I mean, when he's saying how every like adjective that he uses, we're the biggest and the greatest. And I just think that's funny.
Yeah, I think he's an idiot. But anyway, go ahead, move on.
No, that was really the bulk of my point, but I'd love to play the game.
Here we go. Dramas. All right. The number one seed in the upper right-hand quadrant is The Wire. Oof. Versus the 16 seed, Miami Vice.
Oh, The Wire, without a doubt. Huh. You kicked me off your show last year because you were talking about The Wire. We were talking about it. I was in between one of the episodes, and you gave me the conclusion.
Oh, I did?
Before I saw it.
I apologize, man. What conclusion did I give you?
I forget. I got a bad memory, but you definitely gave it to me.
I didn't mean to do that. All right, brother.
All right, man.
You got it. The Wire survives. Beats Miami Vice.
That's the right answer, obviously.
Yes, it is. Now, we'll see, because there's a lot of people. Breaking Bad is the best TV show ever. And then I had one guy say, Breaking Bad, it's terrible. It's amazing. Like, your personal likes and dislikes. You know, the committee had to strip bare. Like some of you see in Narcos, where they take their clothes off so they don't steal the cocaine mm-hmm. as they're cutting it. The committee had to strip bare all of its preconceived notions and likes and just go in and examine the data.
I'm very interested because no executive challenge has been used yet. And I know that you love The Wire. And I wonder, as it goes forward, will you protect The Wire via executive challenge in future rounds?
No, I will not.
You will not?
I actually don't think there can be, from this point on, an executive challenge.
Well, we haven't done the whole first round yet.
But right now, like, if I just gave it a second round of sitcoms, like, I can't very well executive challenge, unless 2.5 Men beat Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
That's an executive challenge.
But now, the Wire's got to face off against an 8-9 seed in the second round, so who knows how people are going to perceive that.
All right,
let's go Byron in Bucks County. Byron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Byron.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Byron?
Mike, I have a quick a Sixers question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, you know, the NBA gets back, you know, to normalcy, whatever, middle of May, and they start playing mm-hmm. games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the time off and the guys clearing their head, we all know, you know, Brett Brown wasn't a popular figure with the Sixers, all the nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Does this kind of save his job for next year?
No.
In case they do.
No, we've talked about this a couple times. In my opinion, no. Because there's no way. Here's the thing. With whether it was fair or not, Brett Brown came into the season being harshly judged by a lot of the fan base, right?
Right.
And so, like, he hasn't won one point with the fan base this year.
Right.
So if you're ownership, and I'm just putting myself in the pocket of ownership, I don't know how they would think, but I would think logically, if the guy has come in this year, people were already down on him, and he did really nothing to let people not be down on him, whether you think he's a good coach or not, I think it's an insult to your fan base to then come back with them after a sixth-place regular season finish. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
And I don't know if they'll think that way. I'm just telling you, that's the way I would think. I would think, fair or unfair, whether I liked them or not, for my fan base's sake, it would be time for a change. I think that would be accepted more by my fan base than not.
Mike, is Mark Jackson a good fit for this particular squad?
You know, I don't know. I couldn't tell you who the next great coach would be. Maybe it would be Mark Jackson. You know, there have been assistant coaches from NBA teams that have managed to get NBA jobs and have done quite well.
All right, I got
so,
you.
So, like, you know, people say, well, who are you going to get? Well, you're always going to get somebody.
Right.
You know, like, just like you got Brett Brown. Like,
right.
There's another guy. There's another Brett Brown out there.
I like to play the game. Like, oh, by the way, it was Big Money Grit who was the guy on Sanford and Son. That episode he was talking
Big
about.
Money Grit?
Big Money Grit.
Sure was, bro. I thought he had, like, he was like a scholarly looking guy.
No, it was Big Money Grit who had the relations.
Oh, that's right. It was Griff. That's Griff. Right. Okay, yeah, it was Griff. Yeah. All
hey,
right.
Mike, what,
yeah, you got
Mike,
it.
Where, in your field of 68, where is Barney Miller and Chico and the Man at?
Barney Miller actually was a good show. That should have been considered. We didn't consider that. And Chico and the Man, you know, that didn't hang in there for very long. All right, here you go. This is probably in your wheelhouse. And this is a tough matchup. The 8 seed, NYPD Blue, versus the 9 seed, Hill Street Blues.
Oh, wow. You know what? I'm going to go Hill Street Blues.
Oh, Hill Street Blues defeats Sipowitz.
I have to say, you really gave the Wire a tough road.
I did.
You can make an argument that Hill Street Blues is up there with any show ever. It could be a higher seeded. That's nobody. That's
the committee. I told you the committee was fair.
Because there are absolutely...
I wasn't protecting my favorite show.
Right, there are absolutely people out there, I'm not saying that they're going to call in today, who prefer Hill Street Blues. To many people, that is the gold standard drama.
Now, objectively, it's not even close, frankly.
I don't know.
But by your point, maybe.
Are people who think Hill Street Blues was the gold standard for...
Hill Street Blues was the precursor. NYPD Blue got a lot of acclaim because of the characters on that show.
Caruso but, whispering.
Yeah, but,
the show
but Hill Street Blues had the chief was with the DA, who she was smoking hot.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name as an actress. But she used to call him Pizza Man. You remember?
Yeah.
Why did she call him Pizza Man?
I don't remember. Why did she call him Pizza
Man? They had this burning love affair. They had a lot of sex scenes in Hill Street Blues. And then there was that little scruffy dude. And then there was the bad lieutenant type of guy. The cheater would take money, right? What was his name?
I forget the characters' names.
I forget their names.
But
they had all different characters. And then they had the woman. Betty, her name was Betty something, the actress.
I'd have to go
Betty
through.
Betty Thomas.
I'd have to go through an IMDb again.
Yeah, get the IMDb, get the characters.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. C-Notes in North Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. C-Note.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, C-Note?
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about, since tomorrow you're going to do general knowledge, right?
Yes.
Well, the company I was working for, we got laid off, but every Wednesday we will have the general knowledge game ourselves, like be the first one to answer the question.
Oh, would you?
And all that.
Oh, yeah, man, that's nice.
Because, you know, all we did was listen to the Fanatic at work. That's all we did.
We appreciate that, man. Yeah, we're going to, we will suspend the Field 64 for tomorrow with the General Knowledge Wednesday prize coming up.
Oh, okay, but, you know, I don't know when we're getting back to work and everything, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm going to miss about the in the job site, because we had fun on Wednesday.
Well, what you guys should do, I don't know if you can hook up. It's really easy to hook up now with Zoom or anything. You guys should get a, like, you know, a little Google chat going. And play along with us.
Yeah, but you know, some people not really like have a delay on that stuff too. So we used to be like, nah, I was the first one to answer that, and I don't know. Yeah. I was always winning.
Yeah, though. Were you really? You kicked butt, huh?
They used to call me the GK bully. General knowledge.
That's awesome, man. That's good to hear. C Notes. Hey, you want to play the game, C Notes?
I'll give it a shot.
Here it is. The five seed in this bracket, Lost, versus the 12th seed, Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
All right, Criminal Minds, the higher seed. I mean, the lower seed goes down. A 12th seed just beat a 5. Is that a challenge? Well, do you want to challenge it? We can challenge it.
I feel like Lost has like a diehard following,
yeah,
right?
That's the
I don't
first
know.
Challenge.
I say it's an executive challenge.
Okay.
I also don't think Criminal Minds is that good of a show.
See, I like Criminal Minds over Lost just because Lost lost me, but that's fine.
I never watched Lost.
Criminal Minds, I always, when I tune in, I watch the whole episode. And Lost.
I do too.
So I don't know.
I don't watch Criminal Minds anymore. It got tired for me.
Right.
He's too serious, that dude. Yes. He annoys me.
What's
that actor's name?
Oh, what is his name?
But hold on, I'll look it
Gibson?
Up.
Gibson? Something Gibson?
Yeah,
he's too serious. He ruins it.
But Lost was so popular.
Yeah,
and
it
people
was.
Loved it.
Yes. So we're going to executive challenge it. All right, let's go to Ryan in Lumberton. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
What's up, Ryan?
So do I get to adjudicate the...
You do. The first thing first, you get to adjudicate Lost or Criminal Minds.
I'm going with Lost.
You're going with Lost.
I am, yes.
All right. Lost in a reversal wins over Criminal Minds.
Okay. I'm
as per
about
the
that.
Executive challenge rules.
I don't like Criminal Minds at all.
Oh, you don't like it at all?
No, I studied criminal justice in college. And I know a lot about criminology, and that show's just garbage with how inaccurate it is. So,
okay.
I wanted to talk about two things with the Sixers. One of them was the Josh Harris thing. Mm-hmm. I'm in complete agreement with you. You know, I'm a raging capitalist as much as the next man, but there's a difference between that and just being a greedy idiot. And I'm totally with you. I have no idea how anyone could have sat in that boardroom or whoever made that decision, wherever it was made. How in the world could they have sat there and thought that anybody was going to take that in a positive manner and not, you know, get a ton of backlash? Like, what in God's name were they thinking?
You know, I'm trying to find out. I've invited a couple people to come on the air, and I have not gotten a response yet, so.
Okay. And the second thing I want to ask you is, I listened to the show yesterday and you were talking about Horford and you were talking about, how, you know, when he first came here, everyone thought he was going to be great. Now it seems like he's not that good, but he's still got this huge contract. What would you do with Horford? Would you try to trade him and just eat some of the contract? Would you just suck?
I think he's untradeable. And I think if they can trade him, they would. I don't know what it would take to trade him, but he's fairly untradeable at this point. Unfortunately, they're going to have to bite the bullet.
Of the contract that he's untradeable?
Yes.
And his
age and the way he played this year. I mean, what value could he possibly have to anybody?
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking maybe somebody would say, hey, maybe he would fit better into what we do than the Sixers or whatnot, or maybe the Celtics would want him
back. You're taking that. That's a $30 million potential mistake that you're taking on. You know what I'm saying?
You can
use the rationale. Yeah, I hear you.
I'm watching the guy play.
I hear you. But guess what? Other people see the same thing from other teams.
Yeah, of course. I get that.
Yeah, so I hear you. And people would, it's a main topic on people's mind when it comes to the Sixers. All right, brother, here it is. Here's your game.
Okay.
The four seed in the upper right-hand quadrant is Star Trek. The 13th seed is Saint Elsewhere.
All right, now I'm going with the upset. I'm going Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, Saint Elsewhere in an upset. Oh, now how do we not executive challenge that?
Because Saint Elsewhere is a better show.
By what measure?
But there's no convention for Saint Elsewhere,
right,
is there?
Right, but the convention's not based on the original series. You can't include the movies and Star Trek The Next Generation and Voyager and all that. You're talking about the original Star Trek.
Star Trek's like a lifestyle for some people.
Right, but not just the original cast. That's the thing. That's the original drama. If you put The Next Generation on, which was the show that was nominated for the Emmy, which was a better show than the original one, then by all means,
you're very passionate about this Star Trek thing.
The original Star Trek is not the best Star Trek. The Next Generation with Patrick Stewart as in charge was the best one.
All right. I'm not saying executive challenge, I'm just saying.
Here's the thing that I don't think you have, an affection for the original.
The original was
groundbreaking. William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy. Are you serious?
Why didn't it last longer then?
It spun off into other generations. There's a shelf life for a spaceship.
You can't
be a spaceship for 10 years.
Look at how many episodes The Next Generation, the good show, had. Look at the original. And then why did they cancel the original if everybody loved it? It grew, And if you include all of Star Trek, it's a one seed. But you, if you just do that show, St. Elsewhere, a better show with better actors.
I'm giving the Vulcan Denzel salute Washington. Right now. You just can't see me.
Got Denzel Washington. Yeah. Denzel Washington.
He was on that show for half an hour.
Talk about he was on that show.
Talking about.
Who else is the guy? Another guy. The
first commercial he was on that show for. Nah. He was out.
Nah, that guy's a big star.
610-632-0975. We're wide open. It's a good time to get in. We're going to talk about the bigger issue when it comes to this Sixer thing. What responsibility do the rich, the corporate ownership, have to the employees? It go either side, depending on what your views are.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it. 610-622-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the Twitter poll update from Natalie, who is broadcasting from home and being shut in at home. Is it getting to you yet, Nat?
Sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine, you're now the bad girl.
I am. It's tough, but I know that I'm doing the right thing to help with the social distancing and everything that we're supposed to do. So I just hope that if everybody does it, we'll all be back to regular life sooner.
Yes. Now, are you able to get to grocery stores? Are you getting takeout all the time? Like, how are you managing that?
Oh, no. I walked to the produce store near me. They're letting five people in at a time. So I walked there yesterday just to pick up some stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I've just been walking a lot of places, but yeah, it really stinks.
All right, let's get our Twitter poll update. And that's brought to us by Paul B. Moore & Sons, Nat.
So over 1,500 votes on this one. Even though they have reversed the decision to cut salaries, will this impact your opinion of Sixers ownership moving forward? 71% said yes, 29% said no.
All righty, thank you very much. Now, you would think grocery stores would start limiting people in the store at the same time, wouldn't they?
Some are.
Are they?
I think
I haven't been to one in a while.
Some are. Some are also trying to enforce the 6-foot distance in between.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also trying to, because of basically less people are hoarding now, so it's been easier. A lot of the early hoarders realize that they don't have any room for anything else. Like if you load it up on toilet paper, what are you going to go buy now?
Yeah.
So apparently in a lot of places, the stores have calmed down. Because people got their original hoard supplies, and now they're able to just do quicker trips. Okay, we still have cheese. Let's go just get bread. Let's just get this thing. And a lot of places have toilet paper again because they've been able to restock, and people haven't just double hoarded.
The corner stores are also thriving, too. And the one near me has a limit on two rolls of toilet paper per person. And they're stocked, so I'm kind of happy for them, in a way, that the corner stores are thriving.
Yeah, I actually try to make my own bread so I wouldn't have to go out and buy bread.
How'd that go?
It did not go well. See, here's what I learned.
Did it not rise?
It did not rise. I've done this before where I screwed it up. The bread has to be mixed by hand, unless you have a bread machine. And I made a mistake of mixing it in the food processor. So I think that's what is the delay in my rising.
Yeah, it's not delicate enough.
Exactly.
That beats it up.
So it would take like several days to rise. I've done this before. So I had the dough in the oven off that was off to have it like a warmer spot so it would rise.
Gotcha.
And I forgot it was in there. And so I made some macaroni and cheese that had to be baked, so I put the oven on.
You had preheated
the oven, forgetting that I had a glass bowl in there with dough.
Oh,
and I messed the whole thing up.
So what did you do? Did you just toss? I mean, I guess you'd have to toss it, right?
No, I took it out. It wasn't quite cooked. It was still a little bit soft, so I put it in a bread pan. And I baked it that way, hoping it would rise a little bit.
Yeah.
And it came out like a very dense bread.
Ooh.
Like a tortilla?
No, like a thick, heavy. Yeah, it's not good.
I bought, because of the run-on bread, low-carb wraps. Because most of the sandwiches that I eat I could do a wrap because I'm not doing like peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
So that's what I've been using instead of bread because bread has been scarce and mostly works.
My soup last night came out phenomenal.
She put it on social media, Mike.
What, the tomato soup?
Yes.
I saw the picture of it. Didn't it look good? Didn't you have like a little flower in the middle for design? What was that?
It was basil.
Oh, a little basil leaf for a design?
Yeah, so I made the tomato soup. It was tomato basil. It was so easy. Just like 5 ingredients. Blend it in the blender. Add the basil. And then I topped it off with the basil.
That was a very nice presentation. Yeah, it was a good, very good presentation.
Yeah,
wait until you see tonight's.
I used that picture to enter net for Guy's Grocery Games. Mm-hmm. We'll see if Food Network calls him.
Wait, what is it?
Guy's Grocery.
He's got the home cook episodes. You'll be on there.
You know, guy showed up with Michael Rubin last week of the Sixers.
The last game, the 11th.
The last game.
He was there. Yeah.
God Fieri doing in town.
He was working on the episode before everything got closed there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was in Philly. I forget which place. I think somewhere in South Philly. He was doing an episode. That'll air eventually.
Well, of course, Michael Rubin knows him.
He knows everybody. That guy knows everybody.
Each of my soups is going to have a song now, too.
A what?
Soup songs. It's going to have a song.
See,
to accompany
you're going,
the
that's
soup.
Where now you're going too far.
Yeah, with the
Why?
Poems and
yeah,
the songs.
Just stay
and
with
stuff.
The soup and the presentation. Don't song it up.
I don't need this because now, are you a gimmick or is it good food?
It's not a gimmick. It's good food. But
I don't need a gimmick.
You don't
need
a song.
I'm listening to music while I make the soup.
Yeah. Well, you listen
so
to music.
Each soup has a song.
Like a song that's already out.
Yeah.
Not you writing a song.
No.
Because we've had bad luck with that.
No.
Well, mixed luck.
What?
Nothing. It's fine.
When did I ever write a song that was bad?
We're good.
Is it an Irish song?
No, I last so bad
that's then. Where Todd was going with that.
Oh,
yes. We just were talking about
Tura
soup.
No, that's not. Last night's song was Sam Cooke, "Bring It On Home to Me," because it's tomato soup. It makes you feel comfortable.
That's
so you'll
not
see.
Not bad.
Nah.
See.
All right. Let's go, Maurice in West Oak Lane. Maurice, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Maurice?
Not too much, man. Ready for another 12 hours at work.
So you're still working?
Yeah. Well, good with food and everything to wear out. So, yeah, gotta keep the food infrastructure, gotta keep going. So,
okay.
The guy keep it going.
The valuable service you're performing.
Hey, do what I can, and money doesn't hurt either.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a question, I guess my question, but the whole thing with the Sixers, man, in a hypothetical that the season were to resume, and it's a big, big hypothetical, by the way, but at this point, would it benefit us a little bit since with the injuries and everything, or not so much since everything seems to be different?
Would it benefit the Sixers?
Yeah.
Well, because of Ben Simmons?
But
let's look at it this way, because this is why I don't think it's feasible to resume this NBA season. And there's another idea out there. These guys are not in shape. You know, you're talking about cardiovascular shape that they can't possibly be in. You know, maybe they're jogging or they're doing whatever, but they're not going through workouts. So what kind of product are you going to get? On one hand, his back heals. On the other hand, are these guys going to be at top condition to give you a good product?
Yeah, that's a good point. And to that point, I'm seeing more posts of these guys playing online games than they are, you know, working out in the gym, to your point. So
yeah, I mean, they can't even scrimmage. You can't be around people to play basketball.
I'm holding on to foolish hope there.
I just don't think it's feasible. I think it's nonsense to keep thinking that we can resume this season. And I know they don't want to give it up yet. I get that part of it, but it's just not feasible.
I don't want to give it up either. That's why I'm kind of reaching for
smart. No, I hear you, but it's just, you know, I keep thinking, like, what miracle could possibly happen that would salvage this season? And I just don't see it.
So that's the same sort of hockey season could be a wash too, as well. You think
the what? I'm sorry.
The hockey NHL season.
I think that's gone too. I think they're both gone. All right, man. Do you want to play a game here?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go. The drama side, very important. Twin Peaks is the sixth seed. If you remember that show,
I do.
And 11th seed is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ooh. You know what? I really did like Buffy. I was able to do that more than so. I had to go Buffy.
Oh, an upset! Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. A lot of people love that show.
Yes, very popular show, very well done, and it actually has held up. Got some news, Mike.
Twin Peaks was a very strange show. I was addicted to it until nothing ever happened.
You're right about that. Got some news.
Uh-huh.
Cam Newton, the smaller news, Cam Newton officially released by the Panthers. There's already rumors that he may end up with the Patriots. We'll see if that happens. But the bigger one, since we all assume there will be a baseball season, Noah Syndergaard tore his UCL. He needs Tommy John, and he is out.
And I assume he was throwing on his own?
That is, that is what Jeff Passan is saying, and it appears the earliest he will be able to pitch again is April 2021.
Well, that's unfortunate.
At the earliest. Upsets me for baseball, but yeah. If there is a baseball season, the Mets, I thought the Mets were a borderline better than the Phillies. This obviously really hurts them.
And how much can you blame unsupervised workouts for this?
Probably heavily. He's probably pushing himself too
probably
much.
Probably did. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you get in. On the other side, we'll continue to field 64 and the chat on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
3:46. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5. The Fanatic. Robbie Anderson, no longer available for you Eagle fans. He just signed with the Panther. My man's loading up on ex-Temple dudes. All right?
Yep.
He signed with the Panthers 2 years, $20 million. So Matt Rhule has brought back P.J. Walker. He brought back Robbie Anderson. And who else did he bring back? Somebody was another player.
I forget the other.
Defensive player, maybe.
Yeah, but it does allow him to get his system put in place if you have your guys. Mm-hmm. I just hope they're all good. Well, he's a good player.
I guess the Eagles weren't interested.
Apparently, the thing I printed for you with Tim McManus, apparently they just want to get younger and cheaper there, and that's what they want to do. Because the Hopkins trade, they apparently could have topped that, mm-hmm. that offer. They chose not to. And 2 years, $20 million does not sound like a lot of money for a guy. It's a short contract.
Mm-hmm.
They must just not want him.
All right. I just looked up the Hill Street Blues cast.
Yeah.
In this cast was a great college basketball player and a great college football player.
Really?
Yes.
Who?
Well, Michael Warren was Officer Bobby Hill.
Yeah,
Michael Warren was a UCLA basketball star with Lou Alcindor.
Really?
Back in the day, he was a starting player on that team.
All right.
And a running back from Cornell who finished second in the Heisman Trophy contest.
Who was that?
That was Ed Marinaro.
Yes. Yeah,
from
yeah.
Cornell.
Yes, I knew that. I saw... Remember they used to do the Bob Hope All-American show?
Yes.
They showed flashbacks to when he was on it. When I was a kid, they showed a flashback.
Ed Marinaro from Cornell almost won the Heisman, and his stats were like mind-boggling. He played in the Ivy League.
Yeah.
He lost to an Auburn quarterback.
I don't know any Auburn off the top.
Pat
I don't get it.
Sullivan.
That's who he lost
won
to.
Won the Heisman Trophy.
He should have went with Marinaro.
Yeah, Marinaro.
He had a long career.
Was bidding to become the third Italian-American Heisman Trophy winner and lost out.
See, in this day and age?
But after that...
In this day and age.
After that, in this day and age, there were three Italian-American Heisman Trophy winners.
Well, Gino Toretta.
Gino Toretta is one
That's
of
the
them.
One right off the top. Oh, I got to think. After that, It's the only one I know off the top.
Oh, man.
That's your type.
Penn State fans out there are disheartened.
Who?
John Cappelletti.
John, okay.
Something for Joey.
All right.
And then finally, a quarterback also from the same school as Toretta.
Oh, Vinny Testaverde.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Vinny won it before Toretta, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about Testaverde.
Oh, of course you did.
I love Testaverde. Uh-huh. Went to the Bucks, went to the Jets.
Listen, I know. There's a lot of African-American Heisman Trophy winners out there. You would not know that there were five Italians that won a Heisman Trophy winner.
That's a strong representation.
Let's go back to Angelo Bertinelli in 1943.
Look at you going back like that.
Or Bertelli, I think his name was.
Cappelletti's from Delco?
Cappelletti went to Drexel Hill. What's that? It's Bishop Newman, right? I think he went to Bishop Newman, didn't he?
He didn't tell me yet. He's the one who pointed out Bishop Newman guy,
I think.
Bonner.
Oh, Bonner. That's what I'm thinking.
Cappelletti.
Archbishop Bonner.
Local Italian.
Yeah, my senior Bonner, Drexel Hill. That's where he's from.
He's still with us. Maybe he's local.
John Cappelletti?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's on the West Coast.
Well.
He flavored the Chargers. I think he stayed out there for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Wayne in Havertown. Wayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wayne.
Hey, just wanted to call in on the Sixers thing.
Yes, sir.
I think it's interesting because the one caller earlier said it's one thing to be to make a profit, but it's another thing to be greedy. And I guess he's the person that's going to decide where that line is crossed. I mean, who's the all-knowing individual that decides what's too much? And I mean, you run in a business. Be able to do whatever you want.
Yes, except there's running a business and then there's worth. Now, Forbes magazine has him as like the 154th richest person in the world who is worth $4 billion almost. So where do you draw the line?
Well, I think you can't really draw the line. Well, I guess you get to make your own judgment and have an opinion, but
Listen, there's rich and there's rich, right? If you're worth $4 billion, I would think you would realize that if you cheesed out on your employees making 50 grand and reducing their salary by 20%, that's not really a great look.
True. True enough. Last year I got lucky. I got a chance to go to Cuba on my 60th birthday, and you had to get a tour was sponsored by the government to get off the boat. So we took a tour. And about a 30-year-old kid was, you know, telling us about everything as we were driving around in a bus with about 20 Americans. And one thing he was very proud of was they don't let anybody become any more than a millionaire. And he had a big smile on his face. He just thought that was the best thing in the world. We just don't. That's just evil. And I was just chuckling to myself because I think, you know, in our country.
Yeah, I get you, Wayne. Yeah, that's why Fidel Castro was in charge.
Right. That was a good thing.
Yeah, it's a communist society.
My 2 cents on those guys.
All right, brother.
What do you want, man?
Now, you know the game we're playing here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's test you here. The three seed is up. Game of Thrones versus the 14 seed, Homicide, Life on the Street.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones. All right, thank you very much. So Game of Thrones. I thought he was going to go the other way.
I did too.
Sounded like an older school guy.
We did.
Who would have been a little more familiar with Homicide, Life on the Streets.
Yeah, it's a shame it's out. Andre Brower.
And wasn't that comedian in there as well? What's that guy's name? He crossed over. He was a comic at first, and then he became an actor.
I'll look it up.
Belzer? Belzer.
Richard Belzer. He was on that one.
Belzer.
And then he went on to my all-time favorite, Law & Order, SVU.
He did, and he crossed over to Law & Order because they crossed.
Yeah.
Law & Order crossed. They had the help of the Baltimore police on a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm. They did the crossover.
And it turned out that character... By Richard Belzer went out with Lenny's ex-wife in the crossover.
Oh, really?
Lenny Fontana.
Look at that.
His ex-wife, they in the Law and Order whole sequence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had to work together, and it was awkward.
Wasn't he also as a comic in Scarface?
Belzer?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, in Scarface.
Yes, he was in Scarface.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
And in real life, he ended up suing wrestling because he called wrestling fake to Hulk Hogan's face. Hulk Hogan put him in a wrestling hold and choked him out. And he fell face first into a table, and he sued the WWF because he got choked out for calling wrestling
fake. He was an old school comic. Like when before there was a proliferation of stand-up comics. Mm-hmm. He was like an original dude. And his name in Homicide was it Munch?
Yeah, that was his name, and that's for you. Stay play the same character.
Yes. Yeah, Munch.
Munch, yeah.
All right, 610-632-0975, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.